Busey Wealth Management, we're proud to partner with individuals, families, and foundations, ensuring possibilities become achievements. From preserving and enhancing your assets to securing your legacy for future generations, we're focused on your success. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth, since 1868, member FDIC.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
On 93 WIBC.
So let's rock it!
Hello, my name is Nigel. Tony Kennett, investigative reporter for the Daily Signal. Filling in for Jason Hammer, DailySignal.com, right?
Oh, is you that, know it. That is where they have me now.
You run a very funny parody Twitter account. Would you like to mention that real quick?
Sure.
It is... It's got hundreds of thousands of followers, and it cracks me up every time.
Yeah, the U.S. tweet. Ministry of Truth. Yeah. It's a kind of an Orwellian joke on the old U.S. Disinformation Governance Board that
right.
Biden tried and failed this
year.
Who
was that weirdo lady that they had running it?
Nina Kraskowitz or something.
Yeah.
She was the Mary Poppins singing lady. We lasted longer than she did, so.
Yeah. And then it's DailySignal.com is where we could find.
Jankowicz, not Kraskowitz. Is her name. Sorry, yeah, that popped in. But yeah, Daily Signal.
One of the things that was for... We actually talked about this earlier with one of your coworkers at the Heritage Foundation.
Right.
Joel Griffith. Joel Griffith.
Not to be confused with Andy Griffith, not a sheriff.
You know, I expressed to him, we were talking about ESG. That's environmental social governance.
Sounds creepy, doesn't it?
That sounds as creepy as the ministry.
Environmental social governance.
That sounds as creepy as what Joe Biden tried to do with the... What was that one called again?
The Disinformation
yes.
Governance Board.
That sounds just as creepy as ESG.
Environmental social governance sounds like you're getting arrested, but the handcuffs are organic, so that's a nice.
These are people working to eliminate fossil fuels, just like Joe Biden said he was going to do in his 2020 run for president.
Just fossil fuels, but also meat in general.
Oh, they want to get rid of meat.
Yeah, they think that beef
methane,
and
cow farts,
chicken. Yeah,
these
those
are people wanting us to eat bugs.
Yeah,
burgers.
Farting will be illegal one day because that puts too much flatulence into the atmosphere. And you think I'm joking? There is a paper from Stanford on limiting human flatulence as a carbon footprint thing.
From day one, Joe Biden is from when he signed that executive order. I talk about it all the time. 13990 wiped out the pipelines, wiped out the offshore drilling, wiped out the leases. And he's been doing everything. I mean, he campaigned on it. He said he wants to get rid of fossil fuels. And along with that, tens of thousands of jobs.
And, you know,
eliminated tens of thousands of jobs with the cancellation of the Keystone Pipeline.
With Transportation Secretary and a male breastfeeder, Pete Buttigieg, talking quite often about how everyone needs to buy an electric vehicle. A lot of these ESG-compliant, ESG-supporting companies... have started to push for legislation that would limit a farmer's ability to buy a petroleum fuel based farm equipment vehicle, meaning that, you know, they're expecting farmers to go out and buy electric farming vehicles, which are somehow even more expensive than the insanely ridiculously expensive combines and tractors that they're already using. There were revolts in the Netherlands that had the country fire because they tried to destroy the farmer's ability to utilize fertilizer, which is extremely necessary in poor European soil. It's a mess.
It's all about power. It's all about control. It's about hatred for America. And the fact that we were energy independent during Trump, the fact that we were the number one exporter of energy in the world, that we didn't have to go hat in hand to OPEC to beg them to turn on the spigots.
And remember Germany, which was a very independent nation in, as far as energy is concerned in Europe, a mass exporter of pretty much every good type on the books. And now they're walking up to Russia like Oliver with his bowl of gruel saying, "Please, sir, can I have some more? It's cold this winter." And it's terrible. It's pathetic. These ESG environmental types have ruined countless lives with their political posturing.
Good news is there's people pushing back. Senator Ted Cruz, introducing some new legislation this week that's going to accelerate oil and gas permits in the U.S. to make us more energy secure and independent. It's called the Energy Freedom Act. It's going to accelerate federal permits for energy projects, pipelines, and mandate new onshore and offshore oil and gas lease sales, and even speed up wind and solar and geothermal development. I mean, I don't mind developing electric vehicles and developing wind and solar and working on that stuff, but it doesn't have to be a binary choice. It doesn't have to be either or. Let's get all this crap worked out before we immediately do California and get rid of gas-powered vehicles by 2035.
Did you guys know that there's not just some guy sitting in a room with a light switch deciding on whether we're going to focus on gas-powered or electric vehicles? We can actually work on both at the same time. Tesla made its largest strides during the Trump administration. I know that's a crazy shocker of an idea. All types of energy can go forward. Yeah. I love gas powered and coal powered and wood. I have a wood burning stove. I also have two solar panels that help charge a lot of my electric batteries and stuff, so I don't drain it off the grid. I like all kinds of energy. I don't see a need to throttle stuff because we think that, oh, we're going to make some larger climatological impact when China and India are pumping 3,700 times the amount of pollution that we are outputting in a single year.
Did you get those solar panels from Solyndra?
Oh, no. No, I want mine to work. I don't want mine to evaporate in the first year. I'm good.
But I like this statement that Cruz put out. Quote, under President Biden, American families are struggling with record high gas prices and home heating prices, thanks in part to Biden administration's hostility towards oil and gas. And that's purely what it is. Again, he's on tape. He's on record as saying, I want to eliminate fossil fuels in this industry. One study found $157 billion in energy investment is tied up in the federal permit process. He's introducing the Energy Freedom Act and reversing Biden's actions so we don't have to resort to tapping the strategic petroleum reserves
and
sending some of that to China.
And by the way, I would like to point out that what Senator Cruz is doing here is actually how these types of measures are supposed to be introduced. It is not under the authority of the President of the United States of America to just send out an executive order of his whims of the day out to his court and like he's some kind of royalty. I applaud any senator that actually puts these measures forward in a bill where it belongs. It's not up for SCOTUS, and it's not up for the president to decide these things. It's legislative, so use the legislative branch.
Do you want to do a talking dog story, or do you want to do a new debate going around after a customer asked for the tip money back?
Oh, we got to talk about the tip money. Okay. I smell a Karen in the water.
Well, here, okay, so there's this debate going around after a barista came out with a story about how a customer tipped him $2 but then asked him for the money back. Here is a Starbucks barista explaining the encounter.
We're both standing there, and in my head, I'm just thinking, it's $2, dude. It's not that serious. Like, I get, you know, we all have different budgets, but it's also like, it was never that serious.
Asking for your tip money back, can I have my $2?
I mean, did he accidentally hand like the $2 over?
Sounds like probably what happened.
If that's the case, then just give him the $2 back. You know, you're making a big deal. You have no idea what's going on with the dude. And then to the dude, I would say, hey, man, I mean, it's just tip the guy. Both people in this situation theoretically would be wrong. But as far as I know, there's only one person who went to social media going, guys, someone asks for their tip money back. The world is ending.
I just like the tipping in some of these restaurants where they don't do anything, where you do all the work.
I hate that.
Like there's a store around here that does that. Like, I don't need a tip because I went to your refrigerator to get an energy.
Yeah, drink. Like you order a Gatorade and they walk up, they shove the iPad in your face and like your tip options are 15%,
20%,
35%, or your firstborn child. And then like when you have to like go through, you have to swipe and tap to get to no tip.
I'm not saying I'm not Scotty No Tip and Pippin here. I like tipping.
When I'm out and there's a waitress or a waiter at a restaurant, I tip well because I want to be a good testimony. But if you're getting a Gatorade out of the fridge, I'm sorry, that's not tip well.
I had such a good experience at this new Mexican restaurant in Zionsville. It's called Verde. Friday.
You're not loyal to a Mexican restaurant? Are you even a Midwesterner?
What do you mean? I mean, it's like a high-end fancy restaurant.
Let me explain Midwestern Mexican restaurants.
They had a live DJ in
No.
Meals.
I grew up near Newcastle, Indiana. I went to Los Amigos in Newcastle for 18 years of my life, and now I go to Don Rigo's in Greenfield every time I want Mexican. I am loyal to a Mexican. I don't need high fancy. That sounds like a wonderful place. I'm sure that over in Zionsville, you guys have it really fancy.
We've got an El Toro. We got an El Mason. We got the Salty Cowboy, which is locally owned, but this new place called Verde was excellent. It was packed, but I didn't think we were going to be able to get a table. We got right in. We sat down. The service was awesome.
How's the salsa? A Mexican restaurant dies based on how delicious the salsa is.
Excellent salsa. I got the, what did I get? I forget what I got.
You're disappointing me over and over. I'm going to call your wife. This is not acceptable.
Wait a minute. I'm just giving a good review and saying service was actually good. It's quesadilla. It's like a high-end, like a steak quesadilla. That's nice.
Oh, good. You got to go steak. If you get ground beef.
But then I was sipping on some Roca Patron. Is that how you say it? We went with our friends that I just got off the phone with, Melody and Dylan.
Oh, that was where you guys went out to?
Yeah, those were our friends.
Was the DJ good?
Yeah, DJ Meals. I think that's his name, DJ Meals. He came up to me as we were walking out, he's like, dude, huge Hammer Nigel fan.
Let's
like,
go! Starstruck. That's awesome.
So, but it's like this high-end play. And I'm just saying it was a good experience.
And you tipped him well because the service was stellar.
Very well, the service was excellent, and this is not like a paid advertisement. I just like it when because it's few and far between in terms of restaurant experiences that people have been positive about restaurant experiences lately, because it's hard to find help, and it's hard to get good
when
service.
When someone provides a good service, I let them know because I want that good service again. It's a crazy idea out there,
going back.
But no, get a Gatorade out of the fridge, no tip.